Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, really talking more precisely about the essence of Christianity. I really think it's so important for us in this time of trial and challenge in the life of the church to keep our eye on the ball, for each and every one of us to keep our eye on what is most at the heart of what Jesus is calling us to do and to be at this time. And I think the whole trial the church is going through right now is meant to be a great purification, a cleansing. It's the discipline of a loving father on his church, his bride. Why? Because, first of all, he wants us to be his faithful children. He wants us to live his life. He wants to conform us to his son, Jesus. But most of all, he wants the bride to give glory to his son, to live in a way that honors Jesus, that gives glory to him, that's living in the love of Christ and living in purity and holiness and striving after it, yes, imperfectly, but striving after it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and helping each other put sin to death in us. And sometimes, friends, when we get trapped in it, our personal lives or our marriages and whatever, we can get trapped in sin because we've said yes to sin in little ways, which leads to keep saying yes to sin and giving ourselves permission to have one foot in the kingdom of the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the scripture says, and so we get destabilized and we put ourselves in a position of vulnerability by our own choices, and we slowly fall into slavery and compromise with the enemy. And then he can use us to do damage. He can get us when we compromise and we say yes to sin. This is why when we, as Catholics, we realize sin, first of all, is personal. I'm responsible for the sins I've committed, and I'm affected by it. But so is the body of Christ, because we are united in one spirit to each other. And as more of us get trapped into sin and then step into very serious sin, it infects the body. And then we can become slaves to the strategies and the tactics of the devil, whose only real threat in this world is the church. So the great battles that are going to happen in our time and every age are going to happen in the church. The devil wants to kill the church. He doesn't care about corporations. He doesn't care about, you know, entertainment centers. He doesn't care about banks. He doesn't care about all these things. He cares about eternal souls. He wants them. And the only antidote to the enslavement that he's produced over the human race is the grace of God that comes through the church. So if he can weaken the church, can poison her, fill her with maladies, make her worldly, get her confused about her mission, compromised, living in the dark, lead her in a hypocrisy, all of it to weaken her, to slow down her mission, to compromise. That's what he's after, and we're seeing that among the baptized. And so the Lord is coming to deal with that reality, to call all of us, not just the leaders who are in the news, but every single one of us, friends, ought to take stock of this grace that's on the church, the loving discipline of a loving father. And we may, and likely the vast majority of us who are listening to the program had nothing to do with the issues that are in the news about the church's compromise, but all of us are battling against sin. And it's a call for all of us to repent. We're not repenting for their sin. We're repenting. He wants us to look at our own lives and to repent and to pray for those whose sins are being exposed. Jesus wants to purify. The Father wants to purify the body of Christ so we can manifest the power and the love and the mercy of God to a world that's desperately in need of it, and to lead that world to salvation. That's what this is all about. It's of the utmost importance for us to see in this moment we're all being called back to the essence of who we are. what is at the essence of Christianity? What is salvation? How can someone be saved? Because the church exists for that purpose. So that's what we've been talking about. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program so far this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to them right there on the computer or download them, put them whatever device works for you, or sign up for our podcast. I want to remind you also of Peter Burak's booklet I'm offering in this month, The Game Changer, that I'm offering free at the end of the program, fits nicely with the themes we've been talking about, because it's really about the game changer is the Holy Spirit, is the one whom Jesus gives to us, the antidote ultimately for the capacity, you might say, the power, the person who makes us capable of living a new way of life and becoming sons and daughters of God. So I ended yesterday in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Luke is telling us here about that ascension. He's given us the account of the ascension. And at that last moment, just like we talked about earlier in the week, when Jesus first appeared to the apostles as a group after his resurrection, he spoke to them about the essence. He said, look at me, I'm alive, touch me, it's me. The new life's begun, the new creation has begun. Now, this is important. Everything that's happened, happened according to plan. Now, you need to move ahead in the plan that I have for you, to bring repentance and forgiveness of sins to the whole world. That's what I've called you to do. Now, you're going to do that. I want you to tell everybody what you've seen, what you've witnessed. But first, you need to wait, because I'm going to clothe you with power. I'm going to send you the promise of my Father. So the promise and the power is the person of the Holy Spirit. Christianity, in its essence, is a new life in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not just a cheerleader or a commander telling us to try harder. Christianity is not just an exhortation to try harder or to work harder. It's a declaration that God in his mercy and love has broken the back of Satan and made it possible for human beings to be freed from the power of sin and death and for us to live a new life in the Holy Spirit. There it is. So Jesus said, verse 8, chapter 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Okay, so then in chapter 2 is the story of Pentecost. And the apostles are in obedience to Jesus, who is the commander. He's the one that's driving through the grace of the Holy Spirit this mission of the church. And he tells the apostles to wait in the upper room. They're waiting on this feast of Pentecost, which I might have time to talk about it more tomorrow. I mainly want to get at the message of Peter today. It says, you know, the Holy Spirit came. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. So signs of the kingdom, the mighty wind, the presence of God, manifestations, nature itself submits to God and God's power. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it said that, you know, they were there in the upper room with Mary and others, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. The fire, the presence, the sign, the flame, the Holy Spirit, the fire is a sign of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Then they began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in a way, both in a prayer language, but then they went out and they began to speak. And Luke reminds us that this is the Feast of Pentecost. So men of all the 12 tribes of Israel had gathered on this harvest feast in Jerusalem. So representatives from every tribe are there. And the apostles go out and begin to preach. And people are trying to figure out, who are these people? And they're declaring, what are they declaring? Speaking in tongues. They're declaring, they're speaking in a way that people from different language groups are hearing them speak. They're understanding them in their own language. So there's a miracle happening there. It's the reverse of Babel. I won't go into that either, but you know, Babel was, you know, God, curse came on people and no one could understand each other, right? And so now, this is what happens when humanity tries to build a tower to God. It actually divides and confuses. But if we accept God's kingdom and God's reign, what happens? God unites us and everyone's able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking and speaking through the apostles. And what did they do? They declared the mighty works of God. What do you think that is? Oh, I'm sure they preached about the great things God did through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, leading up to and preparing for Jesus. And they declared what they knew about Jesus, what they saw, what they touched, his preaching, his truth, his miracles, the power that went forth from Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit in him, and ultimately, of course, his death on the cross, his rising from the dead, and the fact that they witnessed his ascension, and that they're experiencing the fulfillment of the promise that was given to them. And the people thought that the apostles were drunk. It was such a dramatic situation that exploded there in Jerusalem. And then Peter stood up and said, and here's where we're getting to the essence of what I want to touch on beginning today and then finish tomorrow. Peter stood up. There he is, the representative of the 12, you know, his unique role that Jesus had given him. He said, "For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So, Peter's saying, what you're witnessing is the fulfillment of one of our prophets, the prophets of our people. And it was from Joel. And then he quotes Joel. "And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." What's Peter saying? These words of Joel are being fulfilled. We are now in the last days, the last hour, John will say later, the Apostle John, in history, of human history, is upon us. It's the age of the church. When the church is born, the new reality, the organic living body of Jesus Christ on the earth through the gift and power of the Spirit has come. And that means that the miracle of the Father's intention, that the Spirit would fall on all flesh, not just on Moses, not just on David, not just on a unique king or a unique prophet, but on all flesh. That just as in Jesus, heaven and earth met, and the Spirit was upon him, Mary's son, so it would come to us. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit would rest upon us. So the transfer of this life, this is the essence of Christianity right here, that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell upon us and manifest his power through us, making us first a new creation, making us children of God by sharing in the Spirit of the Son. We become sons and daughters of God with him. So Peter proclaims to them, men of Israel, he starts to talk about Jesus of Nazareth. That's what comes out of a mouth anointed by the Spirit. Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. He's the answer for the human race. This is the most urgent news on the planet. Jesus was delivered up by the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified him. You killed him. At the hands of lawless men, he was killed, but God raised him up. God loosed the pangs of death because it was not possible for death to hold him down. Here's the first one born of woman, that it was not possible for death and therefore the devil to hold him down. Jesus of Nazareth. They said, this is what we're telling you. The back of death has been broken. The chains of Satan have been broken. A new reality, the new creation has begun. And it's in a person. The Savior has come to save us. Now I'm going to finish tomorrow what Peter preaches and tie it into this moment in our life in the church. And I hope you can join me because I think it'll be an important program. Invite your friends to tune in because it could change their life. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.